Welcome to Idaho Speaks, Idaho's conservative talk show. My name is Ed Bejarano. I created Idaho Speaks to give voters access to conservative ideas. Liberal media and progressive activists are working hard to change Idaho into the next California or New York. Please share these episodes with friends and family, and let's keep Idaho, Idaho. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Bushnell Media, providing social media management, web page design, and digital strategy support since 2007. Summer can help bring your marketing from analog to digital with the greatest of ease. Visit www.bushnellmedia.org or email summer at summerbushnell@gmail.com to learn more. Tell her you heard about her on Idaho Speaks and support the businesses that support Idaho Speaks. Welcome to Idaho Speaks. Hey, thank you for tuning in. This is the first time that I'm doing this. You know, I got some feedback after the last couple of elections that I really took to heart. Those of you listening, you'll know this because you were the ones that gave me this input. And I had to pray on this. Here's what the feedback was, is, Ed, we actually want your opinion. We know that you go to great lengths to not poison the well, because I've said that numerous times. It's not my intent to poison the well, but rather give you, the voter, information that you can use to make the best decision. And while I do have an opinion of who should be elected, because I vote every time and I pull the levers, metaphorically speaking, I cast my vote. So obviously I have an opinion as to who should be elected. And many of you have reached out to me over the last year and a half, said, we kind of want to know that. And I mulled it over. I really didn't want to do that. So let me do this. Let me bring in my guest today, co-host on this one, Summer Bushnell. Summer, thank you so much for sitting down with me and talking.
Yes, thank you for including me. I appreciate it.
No, you know, and we've talked a lot. We've done several podcasts together on Idaho Speak. So the feedback I got, you know, I really had to pray on this one. The idea of coming out and saying, here's what I think with regards to the candidates that you heard from. I just kind of felt like I would be overstepping my authority. Is that the right word even?
Am I being a bad influence on you? Because I totally support certain candidates. If I don't, I'm usually conflicted or no one fits what I'm looking for.
Well, you know, a bad influence? No,
good influence?
You're a good friend of mine. No, what I felt was I wanted to give candidates ample opportunity to come in and talk. And I think that's where I settled on this. And I'm going to reach out to the candidates running for contested seats. I'm going to invite all of the candidates running for those seats. And then I'm going to share my opinion. If they don't come on because they chose not to come on, I still have an opinion. I still get to have it. I'm still going to vote. So I think I came down with it as, okay, so we're going to try this with the May election, with the nonpartisan races. And Library District was one of those races that I did.
There's no such thing as nonpartisan, but that's my opinion.
Well, I understand. And we could have a whole episode on just that one.
Exactly.
So there's four candidates running. Tom Hanley, Tim Plass, sorry, that's so horrible with names. Regina McCray, and Judy Meyer. So those four candidates, I talked to Tom, Tim, and Judy. I left a message for Regina. Judy and I had a wonderful conversation. I invited her on the program. I told her that I need to have all of the candidates committed to a schedule by Friday the 14th. Because once I start talking to candidates, I can't air those episodes until all of the candidates come on. Otherwise, it's unfair. Then future candidates already hear the questions. In other words, I was trying to, interview them all at once and then air all of the episodes and then sit down with somebody like you and talk about what we heard.
Well, and you are human and you have other books to read and other things to do.
Yeah,
there besides Idaho Speaks.
There is a schedule. So from the two interviews that you actually helped with, Judy and Regina declined.
They chose whatever reason they chose not to come on and share their points of view with you, the voter. So obviously, we can't really have a positive opinion about them. They chose not to come and talk to the listeners of Idaho Speaks. So let's talk about the other two. What did you think of Tim and Tom?
I really like them. They're there to protect the children, and that's a big deal. What an adult looks for in a library and what we are exposing minor children to are two different things. There are topics that are not for kids. There are topics that are more geared towards adults. And I think when all of Kootenai County is paying taxes towards the community library network, except for if you live in Coeur d'Alene, that there is some need to stay somewhat neutral, that there's certain, we all agree that these topics are, you can buy that on your own. A library isn't going to give you every book on every topic under the sun. They're going to have the most requested stuff.
Now, the Community Library Network, or the Lending Library, all libraries in the area, whether it's Coeur d'Alene, Kootenai, Bonner's Ferry, somebody can go on to the website and request a book. If it's not there, order it, and it'll be shipped to their library. Is that not true?
Correct. I don't know if it goes as far up to Bonner's Ferry, because driving the books back and forth would be a lot. But I do know we go down a county, and I think we go up towards Sandpoint. I'm not sure. And there is a library or two in Washington State that, or at least we used to, connect and share books with.
You know, and I bring that up because in my discussions with friends who have a different opinion with regards to sexually explicit material in the library, you know, their point is, well, it's not on the shelf in Coeur d'Alene, so therefore it's not an issue. And my point is, it doesn't have to be on the shelf in Coeur d'Alene if it's available through the Lending Network, correct?
Correct. And I would say, as a mom, my main use of the library is I go on their webpage and I reserve the book. If I have a younger child in the car, I can run in, get my book off hold, check it out, and go. So saying it's not on the shelf doesn't mean it's not there. A lot of people use it to have books held and then they just check them out and back onto their errands they go.
You know, there was something that Tom said that kind of stuck out in my mind. And that was, is he said very clearly, I'm not trying to ban books. I want to restrict access to books. And you and he actually went back and forth a little bit on book banning. He said books can't be banned. The library can't ban the books.
Correct.
Can you share a little bit about what you guys went back and forth on?
I think for him, the banning was, we're not banning stuff. We're banning, he's saying, okay, I think he said anthrax. Why would you have the Anarchist Cookbook or a book on anthrax in the library? That would literally be a public safety issue. If you want to learn how to do that stuff, you can buy those things on your own. That seemed to be more his emphasis on, there's certain topics as a community that we don't educate people on because some of them are literally a public safety issue. So if we're, that's not banning it, that's deciding you can go do that on your own without taxpayer money.
Yeah, and I think what happens is the political activist lets language get in the way here. What they're really complaining about is the restriction. I'm going to use the restriction word. We are restricting access to certain material. And it got me to thinking, as I was listening to that episode, it got me to think, are there other things that we restrict children's access to?
Yeah,
a whole bunch of things kind of popped up. The argument that was published in the paper that, you know, parents should have a right to choose when their child gets exposed to sexual content, for example. And so I asked, okay, so then should a parent have the right to choose when they can take their child to a bar and buy a beer? Should a parent have the right to choose? My 11-year-old, they should be able to drive now.
That would be hilarious. There would be lots of accidents.
You know, well, actually, truth be told, when I was 11, I started driving. Now, we lived out in the country, and my mom actually got a permit allowance from the police department. She had broke her back. She couldn't sit there and hold the steering wheel. So the police said, all right, we'll just stay off the main roads, and Eddie Paul can drive. So, yeah, I don't even think it's a public safety position, sir, per se, because I've known 11-year-olds who drive farm equipment just fine. I have a dear friend of mine. He drove a combine from the age of 8 on. So, you know, but we have laws that are established by society. We limit drinking, smoking, voting, driving.
Marriage.
I mean, there's all kinds of things. Sex. We don't allow children to have a
consent.
When they're a minor, they don't have right for consent. So I just find that argument kind of bogus.
I agree, and I think that a lot of people are like, well, I'll decide when I want to expose my kid to that. But I think a lot of parents aren't aware of what is actually in the library.
Well, and I think they're thinking expose them to sex, you know, the big S word, you know, the birds and the bees. But that's not the material that I'm objecting to.
Correct. There's books that are anatomy or the basics of human biology and reproduction. That's very different than a romance novel that's using very moist adjectives, for lack of a better word.
That's a good word. Yes. Moist adjectives. I like that.
That's different than this is how the birds and bees work.
But then there's also the material that I think goes above and beyond. Material that I just don't think should be allowed in a public library. Anything that has to do with incest, rape, pedophilia. I don't believe those should be allowed in a public library. I think it should be a federal law. I believe they, yet there are books, Innocence, Not All Boys Wear Blue. These are books that have passages of both pedophilia, incest, and rape of a minor expressly described.
I guess for me, I wouldn't outright ban them. Are you condoning it? Or are you, is it a book on how someone survived it and moved on past that? To me, just on a personal level, if someone talks about their horrible childhood where their,
you know,
grandfather was inappropriate with them, that's a different context than, ooh, baby, yeah, lack of a better
moist adjective. But these books, I'm glad you brought that up, but these books that I'm referencing, they are a positive story with regards to pedophilia.
Yeah, or that incest. Is not okay.
You know, so
that's advocating, and I don't think people see the advocating of certain issues.
Well,
it's wrong.
How many times have we had Conrad Woodall on the program?
Right.
Talking about desensitizing children lowers their defense mechanism from against sex abuse.
Yep. No, so, I totally agree.
I think that's totally. So I was really impressed with Tom's answer specifically on that. And I think Tim really did a great job highlighting the fact that the organizational structure on how the library operates. I really felt that he got to the core of the policies are set by the Board of Trustees, and those policies should be in tune with community values.
And have you noticed a pattern here? There's just a lack of trustees doing what they need to be doing in more than one type of publicly funded entity. I think with the two incumbents this time, they aren't doing much. They haven't been advocating for positive policies. I'm not aware of them writing any, and I think it's contagious to school districts and to college trustee boards. We want to vote for people that are going to be actively helping improve the organization, not just someone there to be a yes or a no vote, and then they go home and check out.
You know, that's a good point. I don't know Judy or Regina. Other than talking a little bit on the phone to Judy last week or a few weeks ago.
Well, occasionally Judy makes public comment, and I almost always completely disagree with her, but that's my only context for knowing about her.
Well, you know, my point here is it's not that I have anything against the person.
Correct.
But I'm going to use the public school rant crusade. I don't know how you want to call it. Idaho Speaks is really going after public schools because proficiency scores are in the dumpers. Half of our kids aren't proficient in reading and math. And I think that's criminal. Personally, I think that's criminal. If I only performed at half decency in my business, then I would be fired. And that's what I expect from a public service. If you're not doing the job we actually hired you to do, i.e. teach children, why are you there? Why am I paying you? Why is my tax money going to support you? And I think the same thing falls true with the librarians. So here's two individuals, Judy and Regina. I don't know how long they've been there.
They're incumbents, so they've probably been there. Library district's a little different. It's either 4 years or 6 years.
Gotcha. So at least 2 to 4 years they've been there. And I know that there's books on the shelf in Coeur d'Alene, in Post Falls. I've held them in my hand, and I've read these passages because I was given a book name, the Dewey Decimal number, and the page number. I went to that shelf. I found the book. I opened it up to that page and read about a father raping his daughter and written in a positive light. So here's two librarians who've sat on the board for at least 2 to 4 years, and they've allowed this book on that shelf. To me, that's a fireable offense. That is offensive. Borderline criminal. Why are they allowing this immorality to continue to exist in a publicly supported environment? For that matter, how can anybody make the argument that, well, parents should be able to choose when their children learn about pedophilia?
Do you ever need to learn about that? I'm trying to think of what age was I when I learned that term. I had to have been at least 25, but some of my friends say I lived a very sheltered life. I would disagree, but there's certain topics I wish I could go and erase out of my brain. Some brain bleach would be nice.
Yeah, how many topics do I know nothing about because it doesn't come into play in my life?
And I just had another thought. You've mentioned before having veterans help kids. Gosh, maybe I need to bug the candidates for the library board. A library would be a great place to have tutors that are veterans. That would be an already taxpayer funded, you just scheduled up, use the rooms way to get kids help through a library that's meant for learning, and you get more adults involved, tutors that are veterans.
You know, this is something I need to go check out, something I'll look into. You know, with all of this emphasis on, well, we must include LGBT, whatever. We must include gay literature. We must include information for the child who is questioning their gender or whatever. Are we including material for those who are theologically focused? Children who want to learn more about God? Are we including all of the books of the Bible? Do we have literature that goes into detail on the disciples?
I think we do actually have some of that. I've checked occasionally. We do have the Quran and the Bible and the Torah in the Community Library Network. And I have to say, I purposely request conservative books that I'm all excited to borrow when they come out. I think once I got we're at the end of our budget cycle, but that's on our list for next year. Would you like to be the first person to read it? And I was like, oh, sign me up. New book smell? Yeah. So I'd say in some areas, I think they do a good job, but it's why do they think this other content needs to be pushed to minors?
Right, right. Well, and I think that's kind of pointing the challenge that we as a community face. I was real active in the library. I've told the story numerous times here on Idaho Speaks. I went to the library every day. That's where I did my homework. I love the library. Still do. I just don't go. I don't need to go. I buy the book. I got Amazon. I go on the internet. Any book that I want, I just buy it.
See, I did that, and then I had to move from Texas up here. And I was like, why am I moving all this? So now I don't buy a book unless I want to loan it out or I'm going to reread it and reread it. So I use the library to look at stuff. And then sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm going to return that early because I need to buy myself a copy. It was such a good book.
Well, and as my eyesight has gone, I need it digitally anyway. And I know I can get them through the Libby network.
Yes, you can get digital books. Yeah.
So I haven't had the need to go into the library until I started seeing this topic where there was pornography. And you know, like many of my friends who have said, no, it's not on the shelf, I decided, well, I'm going to see for myself. So I go there and I see for myself. And they're there. There's no question.
And one of the few things that I've just loved, I've been here since 2007. The Community Library Network always does great kids programs in the summer. They will read a book. They play games. There's a magician. Sometimes there's someone with some like fishing game. They've got some owls and some lizards.
The symphony does Saturdays with the symphony.
Right. So there is great stuff that we're doing, and we're not trying to say that, but there's more. I expect more out of my library trustees.
Well, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm a God-fearing Christian. I follow the Judeo-Christian values that our country was founded on. I'm not ashamed to say I believe in God. And I feel that my taxpayer dollars should support that endeavor. I'm not ashamed to say I reject those books that are morally repulsive. Anything that's going to be a celebrate, I mean, the book, Not All Boys Wear Blue, there are pictures, hand-drawn sketches. They're not real photos, but they're hand-drawn sketches of boys giving one another blowjobs. Describing it in great detail from the point of view of the giver and the experience that he had. That doesn't belong in the library, let alone in the children's section.
That's something, if you're interested in that, buy it with your own money. To me, there's a difference between what you buy for yourself and what taxpayers are funding.
And honestly, do they even need to buy it? It's available on Google.
That's true. I go, don't, yeah.
I know. But there. Yeah, anyway. Okay. Anything else you want to say about the Library Board of Trustees? For Kootenai County, in this case.
I'm kind of trying to think of how to say this. I have heard a talking point where they say, oh, you want to ban Harry Potter. If someone starts down that road, they're just trying to misdirect you. Because if they ban Harry Potter, they'd have to ban Lord of the Rings. They'd have to ban the Chronicles of Narnia. That's not what's being talked about, in my opinion. That is a misdirection. They're just trying to get rid of books that are on sexual topics that are inappropriate for minors. And pardon me, not even really get rid of, but you need a parent to help you check that out.
And I don't see anything wrong with that, personally. I mean, I read Lord of the Rings when I was sixth grade, something like that. I was a nerd. I was a geek. I really liked to read.
That's why we're friends. We're both geeks. Yeah.
That's it. And now I read for a living. What a cool job. You know, had I thought when I was in sixth grade, as the teachers, you got to learn how to read. I hated reading the books they were giving me. I liked reading the books that I wanted to read. But who would have thought that that's what I do for a living now? I read. And what are our children missing, not having that skill set?
Correct. And they could be helping more in that area.
Amen to that. Well, Summer, I really appreciate your help with the interviews. Looking forward to having you in studio to help with more interviews.
Yes. Thank you for including me.
Yeah. No, thank you for all you do for the community. You know, let me just take a little aside here, because I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's Summer. She's just too crazy. I don't like her.
And oh my gosh, am I a woman with a strong opinion that doesn't shut up? Oh no, I feel so bad.
Right. Well, you know, I've challenged a couple of them. I know they listen to the program. I'm talking about you. Yes, I am. My statement is always, now wait a minute. I think I've actually heard you say, why are somebody complaining and not trying to do something about it? And here's Summer. I commend you. You're not just complaining from the sidelines. You're on the battlefield. You're trying to do something about it. And I applaud you for that. I appreciate all of the effort that you're doing in the arena of trying to promote good, solid, conservative values. So God bless you for doing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in. Please share these episodes. Too often what happens is the negative narrative is the one that wins. What is it? Bad news travels around the globe before good news gets out of bed in the morning. Without you sharing these episodes, the only news people are going to hear with regards to the library district is the stuff they're going to read in the newspaper. And you know that's going to be one-sided. Here's a chance. Listen to the library trustees for yourself. We got 30-minute interviews with them. You can hear them in their own words, and you make up your mind. Thank you for tuning in. We've reached the end of the episode, but not the end of the issue. Please share this episode with your friends and family. If you have questions or would like to share your own issues and ideas, visit www.idahospeaks.com and click Share an Issue. Your state, your voice, Idaho Speaks.